But it was not enough. There were too many of the darters, and more were coming. All the stranger had accomplished was to make certain it would be killed alongside Leviathan. Then the water quivered with a new vibration, a chorus of undulating notes that rose and fell in perfect unison. The kin.
Rescue. Grant watched, awed, fascinated, wrapped so completely that he forgot the pain that racked his body, forgot even the pains that the ship suffered. That enormous, magnificent creature was battling the sharks, fighting them in a struggle that shook tiny little Shanghai like a dead leaf in a hurricane. The sub rattled and tossed in the wild waves thrashing through the ocean. Grant saw that the sharks were tearing at the big whale, ripping away acres of flesh with teeth the size of buzzsaws. The whale was fighting back, but it seemed a hopeless, one-sided battle. Here and there a shark drifted aimlessly, broken, oozing its internal fluids. But the others kept on attacking, their frenzy growing by the minute. Get away, Grant told himself. While they're busy killing each other, get the hell away from here. But he couldn't. No matter how his rational mind insisted that these creatures fought each other all the time, that this was their world and he had no place in it, that there was nothing he could do to help, still, Grant lingered off to one side of the titanic struggle. Maybe there is something I can do, Grant said as he powered up the thrusters and moved toward the flank of the enormous creature. It was like driving along a mountain range, or coming toward a big city whose towers loomed before you tall and powerful. Feeling like an insect approaching an elephant, Grant drove Shanghai into the battle, hoping that the thruster's exhaust would boil some of the sharks or at least frighten them away. It worked, but it wasn't enough. The sharks didn't like the superheated steam. They raced away from the sub's exhaust plume. But Grant saw that they merely jetted farther up along the great whale's flank and resumed their attack there. The whale's oar-like flippers were just about the size of Shanghai itself, rows and rows of them by the hundreds, and eyes just above them. It was eerie, uncanny, to see hundreds of eyes all turned toward him, watching him, staring at him. Grant was accomplishing almost nothing. The sharks simply avoided the sub. The whale was so big that there were plenty of other places for the sharks to attack. It would have taken a fleet of submersibles to protect this one creature, an armada. Get away, Grant told himself again. There's nothing you can do to help here. Get away while you can. The sub suddenly began to reverberate with an eerie, undulating sound. Up and down, it rose and fell like a police siren, only deeper, lower, so profound that it sounded almost like the bottom bass note on the most tremendous church organ in the universe. God's own chorus, a call to arms that might have been trumpeted by Gabriel himself. It grew swiftly louder, painfully louder, rattling the bridge, thundering in Grant's ears, cracking his eardrums with its tremendous, frightening, awesome, overpowering resonance. The sharks stopped their attack. Every one of them pulled away from the whale and seemed to freeze in place, some of them with gobbets of the whale's flesh clenched in their teeth. The sound was painful. Grant felt as if hot needles were being jabbed in his ears. Louder and louder it rose until he could hear nothing at all. The excruciating pain lanced through him as if a drill was driving through his skull. Touch screens on the consoles began to shatter, bursting into showers of plastic shards and electrical sparks. The bridge vibrated as if some immense beast was shaking it in its jaws the way a terrier shakes a rat to death. Grant hung on, vision clouding as one by one the ship's sensors went out. The main wall screen shattered, blowing sparks and broken pieces across the bridge. Grant ducked and cringed as plastic shards sliced through the fluid past him, tumbling slowly in the thick perfluorocarbon liquid. He could feel the sub's multiple hulls quivering, reverberating like bells struck by a giant iron fist. Like a school of minnows suddenly darting in unison, the sharks turned as one and fled away. One instant, They were hovering everywhere, all pointed toward the source of the sound. The next they were gone, leaving nothing but bubbles in their wake. The sudden turbulence of their swift departure tossed Shenghe fitfully, flipped the submersible upside down. Grant held onto his console with one hand, teeth gritting in pain. He couldn't tell whether the agonies were his own bodies or the ship's. What does it matter? What does anything matter now? The sub was beyond his control. The turbulence left by the sharks had overpowered Grant's ability to keep the vessel on an even keel. The thrusters were actually powering the ship downward now, spinning in a lazy, uncontrollable spiral like a plane heading for a crash in slow motion. The thought flashed through Grant's mind that the nearest solid ground must be tens of thousands of kilometers down, deep in Jupiter's hot, dense core. "We'll be crushed and boiled long before we hit anything solid," he told himself. With growing terror, he tried to work the controls, running his hands madly across the touch screens. Not even the thrusters responded to his commands. "Everything must be so badly damaged," Grant said to himself. "We're going to die. We're going to die." If only Krebs were conscious, he thought. She might be able to handle the controls and get us out of this. Or even Zeb. I don't know what to do. I can't get her straightened out. Shenghe plunged deeper. Grant was totally deaf now, as if his ears were wrapped in thick towels or layers of insulation. Dimly, through the few sensors still working, he saw a sight that shook him to his soul. Dozens of the immense Jovians, scores of them, maybe 100 or more, were speeding through the water toward their wounded, exhausted comrade. "My God," Grant thought as the gigantic creatures neared. "We'd only glimpsed a small portion of the herd. There's so many of them, and they're so huge." Many of them dwarfed the one that had fought the sharks. All of them were flashing lights, signaling each other in hues of brilliant red, flashing yellow, and that bright, piercing green. The water was alight with their signals. But Shenghe was sinking away from them, spinning slowly, revolving over and over again despite Grant's frantic efforts to regain control. A tap on his shoulder made Grant jump. Whirling, he saw it was Karlstad, wide-eyed, frightened. The man's mouth moved, but Grant could hear nothing. When Grant tried to speak, he couldn't hear his own voice. Karlstad frantically jabbed both forefingers toward his ears. "He's been deafened too," Grant understood. The bridge was a mess. Most of the screens had blown out. Splinters of plastic and optical fibers from the unoccupied consoles floated uselessly in the dim emergency lighting. His eyes showing sheer terror, Karlstad pushed himself over to the console on Grant's left and tapped on its keyboard. Its one intact screen wrote in glowing orange letters, "Got to get out of here." Grant shrugged helplessly. "Get us up," Karlstad typed. Grant ran his fingers along the touch screens. The thrusters were running at a fraction of their full power. But with the sub out of control, Grant was afraid to run them up higher, afraid that they would simply drive the vessel deeper into the dark, hot sea. "What should I do? What can I do?" In desperation, he shut down the thrusters completely. "Too much pressure," Karlstad typed. Suddenly, Grant understood what he must do. "Get all this information back to the station." "We're not going to make it," Grant thought. "But this information has got to get to Dr. Wo and the others." Reaching for the keyboard on his console, Grant wrote, "Data capsule." Karlstad's fingers flew across his keyboard. "Not now. Get us closer to the surface." "Now," Grant insisted. "Send two." Karlstad stared at Grant, finally understanding what he was trying to say. "We're as good as dead. There's nothing left for us to do except this gesture of sending data back to the station." Grant grabbed his shoulder and shook him hard, banging on his keyboard with his other hand. "Do it. Two." Karlstad blinked, then nodded his agreement. Bending over his console, he replied, "Two not necessary. Data compression.